Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are in Malachi chapter 3. We are studying truths that we need to absorb in regard to salvation, starting with the truth about God, which is greater than the little bit that we find in verse 6, but some pretty important details are given here. And the whole point of this is so that we know what God we're talking about. That sounds strange to even put it that way, because every believer in Jesus Christ knows there's only one true God, the God of the Bible. So why would a Christian radio preacher say we need to know which God we're talking about? But of course, I think you understand what I mean by that is, are we talking about the God that is revealed in Scripture, the only true God, the one and only true God, or are we talking about some other God of a different definition, of a different character, of a different description, that is often the God that people are talking about when they say they believe in God? How many people say they believe in God, but they reject the God of the Bible? They claim to believe in God, and the way they put it, you think they are saying that I believe in the God of the Bible. You believe in God, you're a Christian, you believe in the God of the Bible. Well, I believe in God too. And it's a little murky, it's never really clearly defined, but the implication seems to be, I believe in God, just like you believe in God. There's one God, and I believe in God, you believe in God, but when you start talking about what they mean by God, you find out they're not talking about the same God. They're talking about a different one. That's a problem, isn't it? That is a serious problem. And we can talk a little bit more about that after I welcome you to this Wednesday, January 22 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And as I remind you that we can only continue teaching on this station when radio listeners like you help us with the financial cost. Thank you for your consideration. So when you hear someone say something like this, well, my God would not send anyone to hell. My God would not cause calamities like floods, hurricanes, and so forth that have a destructive impact upon people. My God wouldn't do that, or I could never believe in a God who did this. Then what they are telling you is, though they claim to believe in God, they are not believing in the God of the Bible. And so that's what I mean when I say we need to know what God we're talking about. We can't be saved by the God of the Bible if we don't know who he is. You see what I'm saying? To say I believe in God doesn't really tell you much. What God do you believe in? Is it the God who reveals himself in Scripture? Have you accepted what God has revealed about himself? If you reject what God reveals about himself, then there's no sense in talking about salvation in the cross of Christ. You have rejected the God who gave us Christ. You have rejected the God who is Jesus Christ, for he in fact is God. So we have to start there, and that's exactly what the prophet Malachi does in his message to the people of Israel in his day. He tells them in verse 6 of chapter 3 that God is self-existent, God is immutable, God is gracious, God is faithful. That's not everything about God, but those are some important things about God. But then he goes on, as you remember, to tell some truth that we need to know about ourselves, and the main one is that we're sinners. Sinners by choice, sinners by birth. But following that, we are given a number of truths about salvation. Some of them we might say are negative, some are positive, but they're all necessary. And what are they? And we've covered most of these, but I'm going to review them 1, 2, 3, 4 until we get to where we left off yesterday. But truth we need to know about salvation involves, number one, sin brings serious consequences. If we don't know that or don't believe that, we're not going to come to Christ for salvation because it's no big deal. We don't need to be saved. We're not concerned about the consequences of our sin. But of course, if we're not, it's because we haven't accepted what God has revealed in his word when he tells us that we are under divine wrath. We are under a divine curse because of our sin. Sin brings serious consequences. But secondly, we learn that God is a pardoning God. Return to me, and I will return to you, he says in verse 7. If we are willing to turn from our sin and turn to God, then God will come to us. But number three, we learn that people are spiritually dull. They have trouble understanding the truth about God and about salvation and about their own sin, and especially about their own sin. We are masters at avoiding the truth about our sin. We are masters at evading the truth about our sin. We are masters at excusing, justifying, and minimizing our sins in so many ways. And that's exactly what we have here. God says, return to me, and I will return to you. But you said, in what way shall we return? Well, people are spiritually dull. We need to understand that. We need to know why we have difficulty coming to grips with the Scripture. It's because we are dull of perception until God quickens us to life, until God sharpens our spiritual perceptions. Otherwise, we are spiritually dull. But number four, and this is a very important element in understanding salvation, and that is sins must be acknowledged. But you said, in what way shall we return? In essence, we haven't done anything wrong. What are you talking about? What have we done? We don't see it. We don't see it. And we won't return to God when we don't acknowledge our sin. And it's not only that we need to acknowledge our sin in the general way. Okay. I admit I'm a sinner. Everybody is. That's general, and that's not very, that doesn't show any evidence of conviction, does it? But specific sins must be named and acknowledged. We move on to verse 8. Let me read verse 7 and then into verse 8. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I have skipped over this part about robbing God, about tithes and offerings, until this point. We've been talking about this passage for several days now and dealing with all of the truths around this particular one, but I have avoided this one because I didn't want to get into an area where people would start objecting to what I was saying on the basis of their rejection of the Old Testament requirement to tithe. And let me just put it this way, because I won't have time on this broadcast to get into this in any detail, but I will in the days to come. But let me just put it to you this way. Malachi is talking to the people of Israel who are under Old Testament law, right? We all understand that, don't we? They were under obligation to tithe. That was part of the law of Moses. They were not doing it. They were failing to give to God the tithe that he required. That was a specific sin. You see, in this book, if you've been with us, we have gone through a list of sins in chapters 1 and 2, but the list is certainly not complete, and now we come to another one. You are saying, in what way should we return to you? We don't understand where we have gone astray. We don't understand what you're talking about. We don't understand why you have a problem with us. We don't understand why you should be unhappy with us, was their general attitude. And that is so commonly the attitude of people in our day. We don't want any hellfire and brimstone preaching. What is that? Well, it is straightforward preaching about sin and its consequences. We don't want that. No, we don't delight in that, but that's what we need. I understand that if that's all you hear every sermon without anything else, that probably is a bit overkill. It's a bit unbalanced. But to leave it out entirely is also unbalanced. Why do we think that dealing with sin and its consequences is somehow, well, is somehow unbalanced, and we don't want that. But if you deal only with the love of God and never deal with sin and its consequences, that there's nothing wrong with that, nothing unbalanced about that. What is that but an indication of the dullness of our spiritual perception and the sinfulness of our hearts? We only want to talk about a God of love. God is a God of love. Thank God he is a God of love. But that's not all he is. He's also a God of wrath. God is a God of holy wrath, holy indignation, holy judgment that will be poured out upon sinners who will not acknowledge their sin and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. To fail to tell people that is not good, that's bad. That's dereliction of duty. That's unfaithfulness on the part of the preacher. And so here are the people of God in Malachi's day once again. God is being gracious to them. If you'll return to me, I will return to you. Well, in what way shall we return? Here it is. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. In other words, what is God saying here? One way you can return to me is start paying your tithes. Now again, obviously, paying tithes with a heart that is still not yielded to God isn't going to do you a bit of good, except it is an acknowledgement that God is God, and for the people of God in Malachi's day, it was an acknowledgement that he has a right to demand this, and that would be a good first step. But the whole point is, you can't claim to have turned from your sins until you start behaving differently in the opposite way that you were before when you were sinning. Well, we'll talk about it, Lord willing, tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.